what God can do. What He's done for us, He'll do for you. Hallelujah. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Let's sing it again now. It is no secret what God can do. Oh, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. That's the truth tonight. Hallelujah. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Hallelujah. Praise His name tonight. It's no secret what God can do. I believe we could sing it. It's no secret what God has done. Amen. In this end time, the message of the hour, and how God has spoken through a prophet to our hearts, and we have been illuminated through the Word of God. Amen. Let's sing that song. I bless Your name. I bless Your name. Let's just bless His name tonight, saints. Amen. I bless Your name. I bless Your name. I give You all to give You praise. You are the Your name tonight. I bless Your name. Now let's sing it to Him now and praise His name. Prisoner's chain with bleeding stripes, all and Your name tonight. I bless Your name. I give You all to give You praise. You are the I bless Your name. some midnight hour. If you should find you're in a dream, Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let's sing it now. Hallelujah. Bless your name. Lord, I bless your name tonight. I bless your name. Hallelujah. I give you all. God, hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Give him a good hand clap of praise tonight. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Let's sing that song, The Great Emancipator. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad for that great emancipator tonight? Praise the Lord. Didn't have to do it, but he did. He loved us and he did it for us. Once my heart and soul were fettered by the binding chains of sin, but the great emancipator said, to worship him, singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be his holy name. He's a great man. As the song of the redeemed, like a lost lamb I was drifting, oh, so helpless and alone. Shepherd found me, and he led me to Father's throne. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Blessed be his holy name. Sing that verse again now. Like a lost lamb I was drifting, oh, so helpless and alone. one more time. Singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be His holy name. He's the great emancipator. And that's the song of the redeemed. Hallelujah. Praise His name tonight. Lord, we praise You tonight. Wonderful Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the service tonight. I want to welcome our visitors with us. Just appreciate you being here and pray God will give you a special blessing. Those that are not here listening by way of internet, we just welcome you also to the service. Pray God will bless you too in a very special way. We're going to take our prayer request at this time. And I'm going to ask Brother David Whitlock if he would come tonight. We want to remember the drums that are away tonight. We want to remember them. Also, I have one special unspoken request. It doesn't say who it is or what, but it is an unspoken request, and I'm sure it's very important. So we want to remember that tonight. We want to remember Andy Coffey and family tonight. They're not well. I want to remember them. Also, Sister Shirley Buchanan has a real bad case of vertigo, I understand. She's had a very bad episode of that. So let's remember Sister Shirley Buchanan tonight as we pray. If you have an unspoken request tonight, an uplifted hand, we just I'll take these to the Lord in prayer and believe God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He's here to meet these needs. Amen. As Brother Keith plays something softly, Brother David, if you'd come tonight, let's just remember all these tonight in prayer. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, Lord, we just thank You once again, Lord Father, for giving us the privilege to be able to come through those doors, Lord Father God, to be able to gather and worship You collectively, Lord, to be able to just give You praise and honor for all the things that You do and have done and are going to do for us, Lord. Lord, we just can never thank You enough for everything that You do and who You are and what You've done and are currently doing, Lord. Lord Father, You heard requests mentioned here, Lord Father God, and so many more mentioned Sunday. Those sick, those hurting, those recovering from surgeries, traveling. Lord Father, we just ask that You would just bless each and every one of those that cannot be here with us tonight for whatever the reason would be, Lord Father. We ask that You would just give them a blessing, Lord Father. Minister to them, Lord Father God, to where they could be able to join us back the next time that we meet. Lord, we just ask, Father, You just speak to our hearts tonight, Lord, Father. Lord, we've come here on a Wednesday night, Father, because we want to hear from You, Father. We're eager to hear from You, Lord. And Lord, we just ask You to just bless Brother Barry as he brings the Word tonight, Lord, and just prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, Lord, Father, just to pull on that gift, Lord, Father, God, to receive from You tonight, Lord, Father, what You'd have us to receive. Lord, once again, Lord, Father, we just praise Your glorious name, Lord, Father. We just thank You for all that You do, Lord. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.
We'll ask the ushers if they'd come at this time while you're standing and receive the offering. Then Brother Keith's going to sing for us. So if they'd just come at this time. Let's sing that song. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Amen. Brother Andy, if you'd pray over the offering tonight. Yes, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Praise Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. Oh, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth shall I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth shall I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercy of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. God is good all the time. The soul that rings in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Sing it one more time now. If you're walking through the valley and there's shadows all around, do not fear. He will guide you. And sound. He has promised never leave you nor forsake you, and his word is good. God is good all the time. Good to soul of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Amen.
Just a second. I give the Lord thanks once again, as he has just performed another miracle in my life. He never ceases to amaze me. 6 months ago, as you know, I've battled diabetes for a long time, but I've claimed my healing from that. But 6 months ago, I went to have my eyes checked. Doctors done a retina scan, told me that I had diabetic retinopathy. Well, I drive a truck, and that's kind of a death sentence for a truck driver. She also told me that I had a pretty large aneurysm on my left eye, and that is something that we was going to have to keep a real close watch on. So they brought me back in to do a six-month follow-up scan, and she was flipping back and forth between the pictures, and she was totally perplexed. When I got that diagnosis, I come up and had Brother Barry to pray for me, and he anointed me with oil and prayed for me. And Monday when I went to have that scan done, the doctor couldn't believe that there was absolutely no sign whatsoever of diabetic retinopathy. There was not even as much as a scar where that large aneurysm was on my left eye. She was amazed, but what else do you expect from our God? Amen. He's so wonderful. We got everything we need right there, and I just want to sing this song. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. Taking back everything that
that the devil stole from me. Now one day old King David come home to a city called Ziklag. While he was gone, the enemy came in and stole everything that he had. But David encouraged himself in the Lord and made up in his mind. And he went right down to the enemy's camp and he took back all that he had. David, I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. Taking back my song, my dance, my joy, my peace. Taking back everything that the devil stole from me. Now we all know that Satan only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I must admit, there's been times when he's even taken away my joy. But I'm serving notice on the devil today. His kingdom is under attack. And I'm on my way to the enemy's camp and I'm taking my property back. Devil, I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. Taking back my song, my dance, my joy, my peace. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. Gonna take it back. Everything that the devil stole from me. Taking back my song, my dance, my joy, my peace. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. Taking back my song, my dance, my joy, my peace. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me.
Hallelujah. Amen. I think it's time to take it back, don't you? Praise the Lord. As Brother Barry comes tonight, let's just sing that song. We'll walk in the light, such a beautiful light. As Brother Barry comes, amen. Can you see it? We'll walk in the light, such a beautiful light.
The Lord, we welcome all of you here this evening, and we trust that the Lord will speak to your heart tonight. We are having trouble with our streaming, so for those folks that are listening tonight, we're able to do the audio, so they're able to pick up on that, but not the streaming tonight. So if you wanted to see the service, you're in the right place, and we apologize to those that are watching, and but they are able to pick up on audio tonight. Just a couple of very quick announcements here this evening before we begin. We have our work day on the 15th of September, and they've even, to help us, to facilitate that, to help us, they've actually put together a sheet that lets us know what we need and the projects that they're going to be doing on the 15th. So if you want to take a look at that, that's in the library. And we're going to be working inside the church and outside the church and doing lots of different functions. And there's a line on here that says, yes, lunch is provided. So we look forward to having you here for that time. Let's stand to our feet tonight. And we have a couple of unspoken requests tonight that are important. And so we'd ask you to remember those needs. Even though you don't know the specifics, we serve a God who does know exactly what's going on, and He knows exactly what's needed. And he's never late. And he's never short. He's always on time. And he always has an answer. And so we appreciate that. Appreciate his love and his mercy to us. Let's sing that before we pray tonight. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, Almighty God. That is what I want to do, and I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you. Father, we bow in your presence tonight, and we thank you so much because we can always come and pour out our concerns, we can pour out our complaints, we can pour out our needs before you, and we believe you always have an answer of peace. We believe, Lord, you always have a solution, and you're a balm in Gilead, you're the oil on the troubled waters, and we ask in the name of Jesus Christ now, you would just speak to our hearts, Lord, and just take this service under your control, Lord, for your glory. We commit our every need to you, Lord, and we commit our assembly to you, Lord, and ask now that you would just be able to speak and flow through our brother Sharnak tonight, Lord, and just minister to the hearts of your people, knowing, Lord, that he knows nothing about anything that happens in our lives and what's going on, Lord. Just pray that you would use him, use his voice, and guide him, I pray, according to your will and your purpose tonight, because your prophet taught us there's a purpose in every gathering, and we believe that tonight. So have your way, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing that again, but here's what I want you to do. We have Brother Nicholas Sharnak, who is here tonight from the Eastern Shore in South Africa. And he's in the country. His father was here at the last men's meeting, and some of you may remember, came for a short time during the men's meeting. And this is our brother Sharnak's first time in the country here, and he has a very good report. Travels into countries that I'm very keen on finding out more about, in Zambia and also in Mozambique. And so we've been talking already about that, and we want to pursue that a little bit further. But our brother Sharnak is an evangelist who travels and does work in remote areas, small churches, small gatherings of people. So he hasn't come here for a large convention or anything like that. So I say all of that to say this. Here's what you need to do. You need to sit there tonight and don't shut down when we stop singing. But you need to say, Lord, this man doesn't know anything at all about me. He doesn't know anything at all, but you do. So, Lord, just take his voice and have him walk down my street so he can speak to me sovereignly. And, Lord, I'll believe it's you. I'll know it's you. Because I know that Brother Sharnak doesn't know anything about me. So if we practice that, God has a channel then through which he can speak to us. And that's what we want to do tonight. So just disregard the vessel and listen to what's being said, because I believe that there's something in every service for every one of us, even if it's only a little portion. And that's an important way to look at things. That's an important way to approach the word tonight. Let's sing it one more time as our brother Sharnak comes. I worship you, Almighty God.
Father, Lord, we are depending solemnly upon you. We put our trust in you tonight, Lord Jesus. And Father, Lord, you have never failed. We have never seen you fail one time. Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even tonight, Lord, in this service, Lord, we are solemnly depending on you to move into the hearts of your children. You know the needs of everyone tonight, Lord. Father, you've given me this inspiration, O God, and you will put all these little pieces together, Lord. And I believe, Father, that you had an appointment with us. And Lord Jesus, we just want to surrender. We just want to give up, Lord. We just want to say, Lord, here we are tonight. And Father, that we stretch out a portion of faith that's within our hearts this evening and reach out to you, Lord. And Father, the Lord, it's later than what we can ever imagine. There's nothing in this world for us outside, Lord. Lord, you are our everything. You are our all, Lord Jesus. I want to pray this evening, oh God, that you just hide your vessel. It's not a man speaking here, Lord, but it's you. And Father, you know the needs of your people. You know the hearts, each and every one. You knew before the foundation of the world who will be here tonight, the date, and where everybody will be set, Lord, and who will be here. And Father, you know all things. Even before we could come to this service, you know it all. We pray, oh God, and have your way and speak to us in a special way tonight. We commit our lives into your hands. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord bless you. I think let's take our Bibles before we take our seats. Let's open our Bibles. It's a very familiar scripture tonight. We'll just read one or two verses in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. We want to speak on, amen, hallelujah, an expectation, amen, a walk before God. And I see quite a number of young people here. I have a passion for young people. I want to let the young people know that when I came to the Lord, I was 12 years old. The only thing I know is to serve the Lord. Amen. I doesn't know what is to drink, smoke, running around, womanize. I don't know those things. The only thing I know, young people, is to serve the Lord. Yeah. I've done it all my life. I doesn't have education, can't even write properly, can't even read properly. But what I know, I have seen the power of God. And I want to encourage the young people of this church. If there's one thing that you should do in this life, all the other things is beautiful. Education, a good job, a good wife, a good husband. But all those things are vanity. You can lose them tomorrow. But a born-again experience with God, that's it. A personal experience with God, that's what changed my life. Since that day, I've never looked back. Amen. And God has been my friend all these years. Yeah. Let's read a few verses. By faith, verse 5, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because he had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleases God. May God bless His Word as we take our seats. I want to thank our precious pastor here. As the pastor was saying, this is my first visit. And my dad has been in the States quite a number of times since 2000. And this time, I'm so happy to be here. We actually are supposed to be together because he was supposed to introduce me and take me to a number of churches. But when I got my visa, he just said to me, now you swim. You have to swim. You get on the plane and you swim. Amen. And I'm happy, brothers and sisters. I've met wonderful people. And I want to appreciate the Lord and for the reception and the way the believers has invited me. And I've been blessed to be able to travel. And I want to tell our young people, you appreciate your parents. You know, you appreciate your parents. It's the best gift that God could ever give you. His parents that serves the Lord. I grew up in a house, I was born into this message, but that didn't make me a Christian. That didn't make me a holy kid. Because my dad is a missionary and all that, I had to come to a place where I had to seek the face of God. And I had to make a personal contact with the Creator. And all my life, young people, you know, that I've served the Lord, and it was not easy. It has never been easy to serve the Lord. You'll find there's a lot of things coming up. The devil tries to pull you away from the things of the Lord. But I'm so thankful that God has given me grace over all these years. God has blessed me. I never, when I looked at the life of a missionary, I looked at my mom, how she had been struggling, and how she had to be at so much patience with a missionary. And you know, I never wanted to get married. And I said to myself, if I had to marry, that means my wife had to go through the very same things that my mom is going through. It's not easy to be in the mission field. Especially in Africa, it's a very hard occupation. And when God calls you in such an occupation, I believe and I have seen that He is the one that takes care. No matter how long you have to wait, amen, you have to just have to have patience. And I'm so happy tonight that God has given me a wonderful wife. He has blessed us with 4 children. I have my eldest son is 17. My second born is 13 years old, and my baby son is 8 years, and my little girl Joy is 4 years old, and they are all missionaries. And it's the thing that we love to do is to see a soul coming in for the Lord, to see a life change. Amen. Money cannot buy that. Amen. One soul is worth more than 10,000 worlds. And that has been our passion. That has been our life all these years. And I'm so thankful that God has given me an opportunity even to come at this age to share wherever I travel, to share my testimony with the young people and to encourage them to hold on. To hold on to the Word. To hold on to the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. Because this is our absolute. The Word of God is our absolute, and this is what keeps us, and this is where you find your identification. Praise the name of the Lord is in the Word of the Lord, and I trust tonight that even this message that God has laid upon my heart, that we have just read, that Enoch had a testimony that pleases God. Amen. Hallelujah. We're living in a time where people want to be pleased. To be honest with you tonight, we are tired of pleasing people. It has proven us over the years that it doesn't give you any benefit to try to please your neighbor, try to please somebody next to you. But the important thing is to have a testimony that pleases God. You can do anything to man. We live in a generation, we live in a time where people are so, you know, so selfish, so unthankful. People don't appreciate nothing. You know, people are just so careless. And You know, and we tend to just feel like, you know, this is the lifestyle that we have to live. But may God help us tonight to have a testimony that please God. That the walk that we walk should be a walk that is covered and surrendered by the presence of the Almighty God. And the atmosphere that's around us, that whenever we come amongst other people, that people might know that we are different. There's no way that we can be like the world outside. We can never be like the world. I always tell our young people that the devil has put so much in front of us in this time. That most of our young people, many of our young people around the globe, I have seen, I have traveled, I have witnessed something that I've never thought would ever happen, is that how the devil has robbed our young people from a prayer life. Our young people are not praying the way they're supposed to pray. The devil has placed in their hands all these devices. You call it iPads, you can call them cell phones, you can call them different names. And the devil, he knows that a prayer life is what we need. It's what gives us a breakthrough. It's what makes me, what is the difference between us and the world outside. And if we can calculate the hours and the minutes that our people spend on these devices and the little time they spend on their knees, it's amazing to see the difference between that. You can never overcome the enemy if you have no prayer life. We can never go into battle unless we have been trained to do that. And part of our training is a prayer life. It's a life that is dedicated to prayer. Praise the name of the Lord. And that is where you can fight your battles on your knees. Praise the name of the Lord. But may God help us. May God give us grace that God will raise up young people in our day that will stand for what is right. Amen. That they had a perfect and a testimony that pleases God. And that's what it is. If you want to get a healing and so forth, amen, atmosphere, you have a great atmosphere of belief. Believe you are going to be healed no matter how real and this and that and the other. Now, this is what I want to say this evening. You want to have an expectation all the way from the heart. And that is the expectation tonight that we want to have is from the heart, soul, body and mind, that God is going to give us a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I feel it that is near us and God is willing and is ready to give us, amen, that outpouring tonight. And I believe, amen, if we come with expectation, if we come under expectation, then God is more than able to meet our expectation. It takes me back to those three men that had that little man on the cot in the Bible. I just tried to see if I can pick up the verse, but you can go home. You know the story. They had this sick man on the bed, and they got to this house, and they could not enter by the door. They could not get into the door. They looked at the situation. Sometimes we are caught up in situations. We try to get our answers and try to find a way in. Like this man, they had a situation here. They could not get into the door. And they had to think about another plan. How will we get this man to Jesus? He's right inside of the house. So we have to get this man to Jesus. And they just decided the only way to get to Jesus is we have to get on this roof. And we have to remove the roof. You see, that is sometimes how God is bringing us. We don't consider the cost and what it will take us. But we are concerned is to get to Him. Our expectation is to get to Him. Because we have so much confidence that if we can get to Him, He is more than able, hallelujah, to settle and to heal and to deliver and to provide. And they did not consider the cost. I mean, you know, to remove somebody's roof. It's not your house. It's not your building. You know, it's a lot of money to get on top of another man's roof and just to take off the sheets and start to break the timber apart. You know the consequences if you do that. But because of the situation, and that is the situation that we are in tonight, hallelujah, it's time to remove the roof. It's time to get sincere. It's time to raise our expectation that He is more than able, that He will cover. Amen. They were so excited, and they got on top of this house. They removed all the sheets, and they made sure that where they removed this was exactly the place, because they had to drop this body, this man, right to the feet of Jesus. Right at the feet of Jesus. So that speaks of desperation. That speaks of desperation. When you are down in Africa, in the areas that we love, I'm telling you, church, I've given out testimony all over America since I've been here. You know, a time of desperation, you have a privilege to have this clean bottled water. Where I live, if you take your glass and you put your water under the tap and the water comes out, it's the color of Coca-Cola. And it takes the grace of God to take that glass of water and drink it. There's no filters. There's no, you have the names of these things. There's no dams. It's just a big dam. Rainwater gets in the water. Cows are walking through it. People are walking through it. Sometimes you find a dead cow in the water. That water comes through your tap. But sometimes God brings you to desperation where you have to take God at His word. Yeah. And sometimes we forget about who God is, because sometimes we have everything. And we sometimes forget, hallelujah. And when you get into these areas, then you realize how privileged you are. How privileged you are to have what you have. Praise the name of the Lord. It brings us to desperation. Like those men, they were desperate. Their only hope was Jesus Christ. Their only help was Jesus Christ. They had no other way to go. And when you live in a country like the United States, there's many other channels. When you live down in Africa, you have no other channels but your knees. And through it all tonight, church, with respect, you learn to trust in God. And I have met wonderful people in the United States. I have seen the presence of God. I have seen people that serve the Lord. And that gives us so much, you know, it gives joy to us to see even though the people in the States, they have everything, but yet they can serve the Lord. Because most of the time, these things just take you further away from God. But it's a blessing to see that even though you have everything, that you still love the Lord. That's a blessing to us, church. It blesses our hearts to see that people can still serve the Lord, even if they have everything. So may God bless you tonight. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm just trying to just read one or two quotes. And we just try to build and watch the time. Amen. And I'm so much used to just preach a short little message, because in the tent, I'm a tent preacher. I'm a man of the field outside. I'm doing missionary work with my dad, and we put up the tent. We preach in all these remote areas. And you have to preach for about 30, 35 minutes, because most of the times people leave the tent. They have so much on their minds. So you have to preach and get it down there and still call the prayer line. And make sure you get them before they leave. You have to pray, you have to preach, pray, and baptize them at the same time. Before they know it, they're in the pool. Praise the name of the Lord. You really have to be hands on. That's why in the tent you have the preacher, you have the chorus leader, you have the pool is there, we have the clothes in the tent. If you doesn't have clothes, we give you a dress to dress, we give you a shirt and a trouser. So before you know it, you are a Christian. So you just have to be bang, 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 bang. That's the gospel church. That's how you have to do it. People, it's hard for them outside in the remote areas and in these places to really sit down and to listen. And there's so much the devil is preaching for them. Draw their attention away from the right thing. We had our last campaign before our winter started. We had a campaign in Pietersville. It's a place maybe 16 hours drive from my home. We had tent meetings, me and my dad. And God, a young girl, a prostitute, got saved in those meetings. She got life, got changed in those meetings. And then you ask yourself, Lord, this is what Brother Branham said, if you can't go, send somebody to go. Because some in those areas, there are people that have never heard this message once. They just need to hear the word of God once. There are souls outside, young people. You are privileged. When I looked at that young girl, I saw her condition. She got into the prayer line and she confessed her sin and the wrongs, and she had a desire to serve God. And she reminded me about the woman, hallelujah, in Simon's house that fell at the feet of Jesus. She was rejected by the neighborhood. She was called a bad woman. But she, hallelujah, had a desire to serve God. She was the one that recognized the Messiah. While Simon did not recognize who he was. And that is what Simon said. He said if he would know who this woman is, he would never let her wash his feet. He knew who she was. He has come to save those that were lost. He has come. He did not come for the smart people. He has come for the sinners. He has come for the lost. He has come to save those that are lost. And if we can only surrender and give our lives to the Lord, He is more than able to do something in our lives and change our lives. And we must remember tonight that we will be, we are, it's hard kind, as the prophet says here. He says it's kind of hard, but you are the only Bible that many people will ever read you. You will be the only Bible. There's no way out of this. No, brother, I'm a secret believer. You can never be a secret believer. No, brother, I am a different kind of person. You are the only Bible that many people will ever read. You Christians, your life is the only Bible that man or woman will ever read. Just the way you act, you do. Christians are supposed to be a living example of what Christ is. And if Christ is in the human heart, then he'll certainly love his own life. So Christ wants to get into the human heart, and he wants to love that life. You believe that tonight? He wants to love that life. Praise the name of the Lord. You've got To get loving, you've got to get the loving word in you, to have the loving God in you. Amen. Because the word here is God when it's made flesh in you. Amen. When it goes into your flesh and your faith and becomes life, then you are a living example. You are an apostle of God. So there is the Bible walking in town. You cannot just be a Christian in church. When you go shopping, you are different. When you go to school, young people, you're different. We're supposed to be loving examples. Loving examples in town, at home, in church, at school, at our jobs. Loving examples. It reminds us, it keeps on coming. It reminds us about that girl that locked her dad in the room. And she gave him a geographic book to read about the earth and this and that. And she had a little tea party with her friends in the house. And the next moment, there was a shout. There was a jubilee. And she wondered, but I took the Bible away from him. I took the Bible away from my dad. How is it possible? What is happening? And her friends was wondering, what is this all about? She went up and said, Dad, but I took the Bible away from you. You see, church, they can take everything away from you. They can take your Bible away from you. They can take every message book away from you. This is nothing to do with verses. This whole Bible, the Word, is within the heart. Is within the soul. It makes you shout. It makes you sing. Hallelujah. It makes you be acting crazy sometimes. You find yourself on the machine, and then you find yourself singing and dancing in the spirit, and your people might say, what's wrong with this guy? Maybe he's out of his mind. There is Christ inside of you. Because you are not ashamed of the gospel. He found his identity. He read in the book. He read about the depth of the sea, how big the ocean was. And they were trying to find the bottom of the ocean. And the inspiration got a hold of him. So they can lock you up in a room. They can take your Bible away. Brother, you can never be lost. Hallelujah, because the word is in your soul tonight. He rejoiced. He said, Daddy, but my daughter, look here, read here, look here. I just read now that they cannot discover the depth of the ocean. And that means, that is what the Bible, that is what the Word of God says. My sins is in the sea of forgetfulness. It's no more to be remembered. That will make any man and woman to shout. That make any Christian to shout. Even if they take your Bible away from you. Because the walk that you have is not a walk that pleases man. It's not a walk that pleases your neighbors. It's not a walk that pleases your boss. Your boss tells you, man, I think we had enough of you. You don't have to kneel and say, oh, please, don't fire me. You shake his hand and say, sir, thank you for the years I have been working here. God bless you. That's a Christian walk. You don't run out and get into your car and get to a union and say, I'm fired. Let God do the fighting for you. Let Him, give Him the preeminence in your life to fight your battles. Sister, if you need another baby, you don't have to stop where the doctor stops you. You have a God that can create. That's a Christian walk. You don't stop where the doctor stops. You don't stop where the medication stops. You have the power and the ability to create. That life and that walk is It's nothing to do with words. Oh, I'm in the message 40 years. I'm in the message 50 years, 30 years. It's nothing to do with how many years you know and how you can quote. This is a life. This is a life. People want to see a life to the church. People want to see the demonstration. Hallelujah. When sickness comes in your house, people, the devil knows the Bible. He knows every verse. He knows every quote. When the devil comes into your house, into your life, it's time for you to speak the word. When somebody gets sick at home, you don't have to phone the pastor. Oh, it's good to phone the pastor. But you just have to lay hands on your daughter. You have the power to pray for your daughter. You have the power to pray for your husband. If he gets sick and he collapses in the kitchen, you get on your knees and say, Lord, God, you have promised, O God, that we shall lay our hands upon the sick, Lord, and they shall recover. I claim the healing of my husband in the name of Jesus. That's the God that we serve. That's the life that we're talking about, young people. That's the kind of life that we have to live. Right at your college, right at the university. That is the kind of standard that you have to set. They have to know, they have to look at you and say, that is a loving apostle. That is the Bible on 2 feet. They must know by your acts, by your actions. When everybody panics, you stay calm. When Israel panicked, God brought David on the scene. He was trained down there in the bush. There was nobody to record the training. You see, sometimes we want to be amongst people so that people can see what we do. No, sir, that is not the God I serve. God trained David right in silence, right on his own. Right there by himself. Because God knew that that boy, I need him. I have to train him in silence. I have to prepare him in silence. Because his time is slowly coming that I will be using him in public. Oh my. That's why when David got on the scene, David did not run around. David stood still. He just heard this uncircumcised Philistine making a boast, and he was asking, is it that man that make you to look like this? You tell me, is that man that make you to, that defiles the armies of God? You think, is it that man? He says, I can fight him. He went to Saul. He says, Saul, I can fight that man. Said, but David, you are just a ruddy little boy. You have no experience. You know what you're talking about. Hallelujah. What Saul didn't knew. That's why Saul at the end, after Goliath was defeated. I like this, young people. When Goliath was defeated, the Bible says David stood on top of Goliath. He stood on top of him. He wanted to make sure that he completely finished him off. It's time to get on top of your enemy. On top of your problem, on top of your situation. And Saul was requesting, he says, whose son is this? Because it's not, we want to know, we want to connect this boy to some. Oh my, church, I'm excited. Whose son are you this evening? Whose son are you, sister? Whose daughter are you, my sister? Whose son are you, my brother? Saul was requesting, please, whose son is this that has done this? That is what the world must ask tonight. Whose daughter is this? Why? Because of your ex. Because of your life. David went head on with Goliath. It is not like the movie shows us how they had the contest. It was more than that. For a young boy to be able to face a giant and he would make his boast. Do you think I'm a dog? You could imagine how Goliath would speak that. You think I'm a dog? Any boy could just run. There he stood as a boy. He waited for him to speak. said, you come to me with your sword and all, and yeah, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And today, this is what David told Goliath. He waited him to finish his speech. Let me tell you tonight, church, we might not see each other again, but wait until the devil is finished with his speech. Don't interrupt him. Leave him. You relax. Stay calm. Because you have, thus saith the Lord, you have a whole heaven behind you. Brother, your business is going down. Don't panic. Relax. You have heaven behind you. Sister, your health is going down. Relax. You have heaven behind you. Your finance is going down. Don't panic. Relax. I'm here tonight to tell you, relax. Heaven is behind you. Wait until the enemy has done what he needs to do. Oh my. Says, you are finished. Now I speak. He says, today. Oh my, a little boy. He says, today. Today. God, my Lord, is going to give you. He's going to give you into my hands. You talk with a giant like that. He said, today, my friend, God is going to give you into my hands. That is the walk we're talking about tonight, the walk with God. This walk is a walk of faith. This is a walk, it's not full of roses. It's a walk of challenges. It's a walk of depression. It's a walk of pressure. It's a walk of, you know, I want to be better than that one. Your neighbor might buy a bigger van than your van. You don't have to go and get a bigger van to just to show your neighbors you got a bigger van. That will cause depression. That will cause a lot of stress. That will cause your marriage. Because you want to prove something to your neighbors. I'd rather walk to church than get into a deal knowing that I'm not able to do it. Unless you go into that by faith. Unless you go into that deal by faith. Oh my, this is the walk. This is the walk, church. Loving apostles. David said, today God gives you into my hands. I'll finish you today. Heaven is waiting for us to act. When the Hebrew brothers, when they acted, heaven was ready to act. When Daniel acted, heaven was ready to act. The same God is here tonight to act. Only thing He asks you tonight is to be that example. Is to be that loving example. You are then an apostle of God. That means that you are that representative. You are the person. God has placed you in your neighborhood. God has placed you in your town. To be that example. To be that life that people longs to see. People have seen a lot over the years. But people want to see a loving God, church. People want to see a loving God in His people. Many things that we can show people. But brother, the most beautiful thing that I believe that you can ever show people is the life of God. No matter if you have to lose friends, you might lose some friends through the years, but that is the life that you want to live. And that is the requirement that we have to be that living apostles. Read by all men. And that is the testimony that Enoch had. A testimony that pleases God. A loving example of Christianity. Let me tell you tonight, people are tired of preaching. We have seen it. People are tired of preaching. But what makes the difference is when you live that life. When you live that life, they looked at you, they said to one another, that is a Christian. That is a man of God. There's a daughter of God. Is that life? Praise the name of the Lord, the image of God. Image of God in an individual. You cannot go wrong. You cannot go wrong. Praise the name of the Lord. You cannot go wrong. No matter the storms and the gales is knocking at your boat from one side to the other. We're facing a lot of storms in this life. I looked at my mom when she got sick. You ask yourself, you look at your mother, doctors is trying to save her life, and after all these years in the ministry, the devil came in. She got a severe depression. She had no need to live no more. She felt that she's not going to live anymore. That's where I realized the demon of depression. It's a beautiful name, but it's a demon. I've never knew that the depression is such a powerful demon. It's a very tricky demon. A demon that can destroy a church. It's a demon that can destroy a marriage. It's a demon that can destroy a family. He doesn't care what he does. It's a demon that can destroy an individual. I looked at my mom and I said, Lord, this is a different woman. We cannot entertain such demons. We cannot live in denial. No, brother, I am fine. These demons is a reality. These are the kind of demons that want to rip family life apart. Nobody, no, none of us is free from these kind of demons. They come in every home. If you are a pastor, a missionary, or a bishop, whoever you are, he comes in, he walks into that house. And his main objective is to destroy. Is to rip people apart. I said, Lord, you are the only one that can help this woman. Lord, she has been faithful all these years. This is all that she knows, is to serve your children, is to serve your servant, is to take care of her children, and to serve the bride of the gospel all these years. Must she go through this, Lord? I said, Lord, it's only you that can help her. And that is when you recognize. That is when the breakthrough comes, brothers and sisters. That is when your breakthrough comes. It's when you recognize that God is the only one that can heal you. As long as you fight against that thought. I want to tell you tonight, I don't know, there might be somebody here that struggles with depression. Let me tell you, it's no demon to play around with. There is a demon that doesn't care how beautiful the family is, how young you are, young people, how old you are, who you are, how many money you've got. If that demon comes in, he comes in to destroy. I have never seen my dad crying. I have never seen him low. I have seen him as a bold man, as a missionary, as an evangelist, ripping every demon apart. But when the demon of depression got in our home, I realized, hallelujah, we need more than my dad. We need a stronger person here. We need God to step on the scene. I saw him kneeling down right up outside his car in a shopping mall. He got in between the cars. I looked at my dad. I said, Lord, I've never seen this man so low. He was out of ways of solving this problem. He didn't know what to do, how to get his wife back to normal. He was low. But one day, God stepped on the scene. God stepped on the scene. We start to realize that we have to stand back and let God do the work. I want to encourage you tonight, church, my brothers and sisters, let God do the work. When the devil gets in your house, let God do the work. When sickness strikes your home, let God do your work. Let God do the work. When trouble sets in, let God do the work. This is what Martha and Maria said, Lord, if you have been here, our brother would not be dead. Hallelujah. They just felt that if he was around, hallelujah, that he would just pray for Lazarus or let him just, but he was life. He was the resurrection. Where did you lay him, Martha? Oh my. Lazarus, come forth. When the gales and the storms of this life, before we close, hallelujah, he was standing in the face of a mess of demons. He was hanging anywhere. It never moved him. He walked right on. That is our desire. That is our call tonight. Amen. When the devil, when the gales and the storms is knocking on your boat, this is what I want to say to you. Walk on. He walked right on, just as calm and quiet as he could be. He was simply unconscious of fear or anything around him. I'll just walk unconsciously. Just walk, trusting the God, trusting the Lord. I know it's sometimes difficult. You say, brother, you don't know what I'm going through, but I want to tell you tonight, walk unconsciously. He's right there. He's right there to support you. He's right there to be. He's right there to help you. Just walk unconscious of fear. Walk unconscious of criticism. Walk unconscious unto this world. Walk as you walked in Christ. Walk with Him. Not paying any attention. Oh my, just keep moving on. If something comes up in the church, walk with God. Sometimes a lot of things happen in our churches. And you find people just leave and find another church. Oh, you don't have to leave the church, you just have to walk with God. Sickness might strike you, walk with God. If the neighbors don't like you, walk with God. Just keep on walking and walking with God. Enoch walked with God. Abraham walked with God. Look at the walk that Abraham had. He lost everything. He walked the walk of a separated life. Sometimes God wants you all alone. He wants to speak with you and to share with you. Abraham walked with God. You will have your ups and your downs. Don't worry. You got to go through these briar patches, over sharp rocks, over bluffs, down over the hillside, up through the mountains, over waters, but walk with God. There are so many hills to climb upward. Oh my. But there's a song that says, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Amen. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He becomes. Amen. There is a Christian walk. A walk, an unconscious walk of what people say and what people talks about you. No matter if they call you old-fashioned, I'd rather be called an old-fashioned preacher than to compromise with the world outside. Amen. To compromise with the things of the world outside. Yep. You'd rather be called old, time, old fashioned. But this is what we want to say in closing tonight. You walk with God. Live that life. Don't pattern your life after somebody. Don't pattern your life after somebody. The kind of music you listen, young people. The kind of dresses you wear, young sister. You have the ability to pattern your life after Christ. If you buy a pattern in the shops with a dress, you cut the pattern the size you want it. And this life, this walk, a Christian walk, and we find many times people likes to pattern their lives after somebody. You even find preachers tonight, they want to preach like other preachers. They like to pronounce the words like other preachers. They like to walk like other preachers. They like to dress like other preachers. We have to pattern ourselves after Christ. Oh, I wish I can be like that brother. Don't do that. I wish I can sing like that sister. Don't do that. God has created us as individuals. And inside of us, He has placed a gift inside of us. We just have to open up and say, Lord, let the gift that You have placed within me, that lays down in my soul, quicken that gift, Lord Jesus. So that this gift can be used to the benefit of Your church. Don't pattern yourself to be like somebody. Young boys, maybe you have a call in your heart to preach the gospel. This is where you start. Many people ask, Brother Nikki, do you preach like your dad? I said, I can never preach like my dad. He's an elder, he's a veteran in the gospel. He has walked miles that I will never walk in this life. I can never be like my dad. I can never pattern my life to be like my dad. We can never pattern our lives, young boys. If you have a call in your heart and you feel in your heart as a young boy, I was 12 years old when I started to preach. When that call was on me, I could not pattern myself to any other man. I had to love a life and pattern my life to God. We cannot be like somebody else. Our example is God. He's the one that we have to please as the musicians come. He's the one that we have to please. You don't pattern yourself after somebody in the world. Don't act like somebody. Don't act like Sister Susie. Or like Brother Jackson. Whoever it might be. Brother Branham says, don't do that. You just walk with God. Follow my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove. Just stay right with God. Stay right with Him. Watch how I sweetens you and cuts all the world away. Oh, you don't care what the people says. You just walk with God. Brothers and sisters, you know we have so many challenges in our village. We have so many, you know, I gave a testimony. You know how our house was broken down. How our little church building was broken down. That was kind of a low moment in our lives as a missionary family. You know, you stand on the street and here's your wife and your four children. And say, Lord, where should we go now? Then the people outside in the village screams, go out of this village. We don't want you here. I looked at my family, I said, Lord, if you want me here, you will provide for me in this village. But I'm not leaving this place. You have brought us here, Lord. And I will have to stand here, Lord Jesus. Amen. There was a difficult time for me in the ministry, but I had to stand solid on this gospel. I had to watch them breaking down the church, breaking down our house. Yes, my little children, I said, Lord, give me the strength from heaven. I have to be strong now for this family. I have to be strong for the message, Lord. I have to stand for what is right, Lord. I will not compromise. It's challenging outside in the mission field. It's not easy down there, church. It's a hard life. But it made us to trust in God. It made us to walk unconsciously. We don't care what people says. We didn't care what people said. Before we know it, God gave it our own house, a small little house. God gave us a small little room to stay in. And from that room, I kept on preaching this gospel, this message. And I felt stronger than yesterday. I want to encourage you tonight, don't give up. No matter how the devil comes, don't give up. God is able to come on the scene, church. It's good to preach about the Hebrew sons. It's good to preach about David. What about you tonight? What about your situation tonight? What your life, your experience with God? He has done something within you. You have been in the message for a long time. This is your time. To step up by faith. And say, Lord, I don't move. I will stand here, Lord. I will speak the word, Lord. I will trust you, Lord. I will be faithful, Lord Jesus. There's no need for you to pattern, hallelujah, your life after other people's life. And in the midst of the situation, you find people come with doctrines. They say, Brother Nikki, look at how poor you are. Look at how you struggle. Look at your family, brother. He says, Brother, we can change your life like this. I said, how do you mean, brother? If you can just preach our doctrine, if you can just spread our books, if you can just talk about this doctrine, that we will change your life. I said, brother, I'd rather have my black coffee. I'd rather sleep on the concrete floor. But I'm not going to deny this message. I'm not going to deny this gospel. He has brought us too far. To turn our backs upon Him. He has taken us too far. The devil is a man of opportunity. He will always come and he will bring something to you and say, I can change your life. I say, Lord, no. I say, Lord, if I should take a decision like this, that means this decision will destroy my family. This decision will destroy my boys. This decision will destroy my wife. This decision will destroy many souls that needs to be saved by God. I said, Lord, you take us through this. You have brought us this far, Lord. You took us out of a big city. You brought us to this village, Lord. And you have brought us here. You are more than able to take care of us. When I applied for my visa to come to the USA, I didn't have all the documents. I went to the embassy and said, Lord, if you want me to come to the United States, Lord, I never thought I would ever come. I said, Lord, there's documents that I have. That's the only things I have, Lord. But I will walk into the embassy, Lord, and I will just give this. And if they ask me questions, Lord, I will give them honest answers. She asked me, sir, what are you doing? I said, I'm a missionary. I'm preaching the gospel. They would look at your bank statements and all that. I didn't have that. She slid the little paper through the window. She said, go to the next office. Stamp, 10 years passport, 10 years visa. You don't have to have. Faith is the substance of things hoped, yes, evidence of things not seen. Yes, you have to walk unconscious. Look away from what the people says. Look away from what the neighbor says. This walk, sometimes it's a lonely walk. Even sometimes it's hard to have your own family to walk with you. Mama and daddies, it's sometimes hard to have your children to walk with you. This has become a lonely walk for many people. But you have to walk. Walk and move forward. Don't look back. Don't look to the side. Look to your goal. It's closer forward than backwards tonight. Let's bow heads as the musicians, please. There might be someone in this church tonight. He said, brother, God spoke through you to me. My walk is not where it's supposed to be. I'm just at the end. I have just decided to stop coming to church. My walk is not where it's supposed to be. My dedication is gone. My prayer life is gone. My love for my wife is gone. My love for my husband is gone. I need to walk with God. I don't know what is the purpose of God tonight. But I just feel in my heart that there's somebody in this church that has pulled on this little message tonight. And I believe there is somebody in this church that said, brother, my walk with God is not where it's supposed to be. The things of this life has kept me so busy. My job has kept me busy. I am not the husband I'm supposed to be, Lord. I'm not the daddy I'm supposed to be. Brother, I don't know when last did I play a little bit with my children. Brother, I don't know when last did I took my wife on a vacation. Lord, I don't know when last did I made a breakfast for my husband in bed. Lord, if there's somebody in this church that feels in their heart that their walk is not where it's supposed to be, you know every person in this building. You know every young person. If there's a young person here, Lord, whose walk is not where it's supposed to be, Lord Jesus. Maybe the cell phone, the internet, Facebook and the WhatsApps and all these devices has kept them away from praying, dedicating their lives to God. Father, maybe their walk is not where it's supposed to be. You know why you have laid upon my heart, why the pull was so strong for me to speak about this walk, to speak about Enoch who walked with God. He had a walk that pleases God, and that pleased God so much that Enoch had, he had a translation, Lord. And I want to pray, oh God, if there's anyone in this church, Lord, that needs a walk with God, you can just raise your hand tonight. Don't be afraid tonight. Don't be ashamed tonight. If you know your walk is not where it's supposed to be, just be honest in your heart tonight. Just be honest in your heart. Say, Lord, I am not the person I'm supposed to be. My walk is not where it's supposed to be, Lord. Help me tonight, Lord. Lord, bless those hands. Heavenly Father, as your servant, you gave me this little broke-up message, Lord, to speak tonight. I felt in my heart today, Lord, that this is what you want me to speak. This is what you want me to speak, Lord. And I feel the pull in my heart tonight. And Lord, these hands that has been lifted up, these are the people that you would want to speak tonight. If they walk, it's not where it's supposed to be, Lord. I want to pray a special prayer for them, Lord. I want to pray, Heavenly Father, that you help them, that you guide them, Lord. Lord Jesus, that they would make time with you, Lord, that they would take time as husbands, as wives, as mummies and daddies, Lord, as See, young people, Lord, they walk a life that pleases God. Bless these families, Lord. Bless these hands. Touch these hands, Lord. Give to them the desire of their heart, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh God, that you give them victory, Lord. Give them victory to overcome the enemy. Lord, the storms of this life, the busy program of this life, Lord. And many times we find ourselves, Lord, that we are out of order. We don't read the Bible. We don't listen to the tapes. We don't have a prayer life, Lord. We don't have a family life no more. We don't have that burden for lost souls no more. We don't have the burden to come to church anymore, Lord. We feel so sick, Lord. We feel so tired to serve you. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I curse every demon power, every power of Satan, Lord, that wants to take away that burden from your children. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, a prayer of faith that you would help your people, Lord, that you would touch them tonight, Lord, when they leave this place tonight, that they will go home and rejoice, Father, that they will be united as families again, that children would love their parents again, that children would respect their parents again, that fathers would love their wives again, that mothers who love their husbands again, Lord. Our praise, oh God, that the desire to serve you, that it always remains with us, Lord. Help us, Lord, the desire to serve you, that it always remains with us. Bless the pastor of this church. Strengthen him, Lord, his family. Lord, help him, oh God. May he stand here, Lord. Lord, make him strong. Help him, Lord, to stand and, Lord, to hold on. Hallelujah. Thank you for his ministry. Thank you for his life, Lord. Bless this congregation. To commit them all into the hands of the Lord. If we don't see the side, Lord, we will definitely see on the other side. We are looking forward, Lord, to meet on the other side. Bless them, Lord, as we walk with you tonight. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to thank you, Lord, for saving. Thank you, Jesus. I want, God bless you, saints.
Got to be I of you. Till room left in me, all those wasted and minutes, they're yours now, from the start to the finish. I need more, more of you. Once again now, I need more. That's the way it's got to be. I need in me, in all those wasted hours and minutes, from the start to the finish, I need more, more of you in me. If anybody needs prayer tonight, I'm sure Brother Nicholas would pray with you. God still moves. God still moves in the hearts of His people. God still moves. Does not sleep. God still moves. God still moves. God still moves. Still moves. Does not sleep, nor does He slumber. God still moves. God still moves. Sing it once again now. Yes, God still moves. God still moves in the heart of His people. God still moves. He does not sleep. He slumbers, but God still moves. God go and let God have His wonderful way. Let's sing that tonight. My, it's just such a nice atmosphere. Just such a nice presence that's here. You know, they say, I was reading a little while ago, somebody said that when Jesus came by, no one had to tell people that they were sinners when Jesus came by.
before Jesus came, people could justify themselves and feel like, you know, everything was okay. But when Jesus came by, that presence just brought a conviction to people. And you know, it's still true. It's still true. When he comes by, it changes how you feel about things. It changes how you feel about yourself. It changes how you feel about everything when he comes by. Because there's a lot of things that really don't matter when he comes by. When you're in his presence, there's just a lot of things that don't matter. There's nothing like his presence. Absolutely nothing. Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God. Time now. Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God have his way. And your sorrows will vanish. Your night turns today. Just let go and let God have his way. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for how simply and how directly you can still speak to us, Lord. And how, Lord, that somebody coming from so far away and not knowing anything about us, Lord, and can just speak, Lord, so perfectly and just so simply, Lord, in a way that none of us could miss it. And how, Lord, that our walk really matters, and how God, you care about even the smallest and the least among us here. Father God, we thank you, and we just ask and pray now that you would just make us mindful, Lord, of our time that we spend in prayer with you, Lord. How that really, Lord, nothing is greater than your presence. And nothing, Lord, is more important than entering into your presence and seeking you with all of our heart. Father God, maybe even for some of us, Lord, it's a time to remove the roof. A time for us, Lord, to break up the roof and have that kind of a desperation, Lord, to come into your presence. Father God, may your Holy Spirit now just deal with our hearts and speak to us, Lord, I pray. Bless our brother, and Lord, just bless him as he travels through the U.S. and back in his home assembly, Lord. We just commit him into your care. And we thank you for your goodness to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. I'm going to make it. That's a Wednesday night service. I'm glad I came tonight. How about you? May God bless you tonight. Brother Greg, thank you for bringing our brother this way, and may the Lord richly bless you. And our brother from Uganda, may the Lord bless you. Met him in Arusha several years ago, and good to have him with us tonight. Good to have all of you. May God bless you now as you go tonight. Remember those that, especially the unspoken requests, and just trust that the Lord will undertake in a supernatural way. Sing it as you go tonight. Already said that I would, and I'll keep on trusting that he's working everything for my good. He walks beside.